free. What better way to start out the new year than be with those of like precious faith, praising God, the creator of all things, who gives us all things to enjoy. It's also a wonderful time because we've had for the past few weeks brethren and visitors from different areas that are still with us today. We're glad you're here. We know that most of you will be traveling back to your homes this week. We're so grateful you've taken the time to be with us, to encourage us by being with us as we worship God in spirit and in truth. Now, for this evening, if you choose to come back, we're going to talk about learning how to be content. Learning how to be content. The Bible has something to say about that, so that's going to be our topic this evening. This morning, for the short period of time, our lesson's titled, Give Me the Truth. As we enter this new year, may it always be our desire to follow the truth. Now, let's explain what I'm talking about as we go into our lesson this morning. For instance, to some, the matter of right or wrong depends on the situation. Is that not so? You used to call it situation ethics. However, Joseph did not use this type of reasoning. If you go back with me in Genesis chapter 39, he did not use situation ethics. He did not use the circumstances. In Genesis chapter 39 and verses 7 through 10, we find here, and it came to pass that after these things, his master's wife cast longing eyes on Joseph, and she said, lie with me. But he refused and said to his master's wife, look, my master does not know what is with me in the house, and he has committed all that he has to my hand. There is no one greater in this house than I, nor has he kept back anything from me but you, because you are his wife. Now here's the point, verse 9. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against who? Sin against God. So again, the idea was he's focusing to God. And then verse 10 says, so it was she spoke to Joseph day by day, and he did not heed her. So the truth wasn't determined by the circumstance. The truth was determined what God wanted, and therefore he resisted her temptations, and we know the rest of that story. As you talk about giving me the truth, I want to suggest to you, others are swayed in their thinking to determine something simply to be right or wrong as if society accepts it. Is that not so? In fact, today, society has accepted things that were not accepted even 15, 20 years ago. That doesn't make it the truth because society accepts something. In Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20, we have there back in the Old Testament, the prophet stating, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. So even though society may change things around, that doesn't become truth. In fact, we see the problem in our society as this has been done in many areas of life. Also, as we talk about the truth, a Christian understands that truth is not determined by society. It's not determined by feelings. I feel it's right. You ever people talk like that? I feel it's okay. That doesn't make it right. Or situation ethics, but rather truth is determined by God. As a Christian, I believe as we talk about give me the truth, that truth is determined by God. Now, that being said, as we get into our study, I've got this point. Therefore, listen carefully. It is good to be true to your convictions only if your convictions are in harmony with the truth. People say, well, this is what I'm convicted in. Well, that might be right or wrong. Are your convictions based upon the truth? Are your convictions based upon society? Are your convictions based upon situation ethics? The only time it's valid, the only time your convictions are valid is if it's based upon this book that we're studying this morning. So let's talk about the truth for a moment. As we talk about the truth is God's word. Let's go to Psalms 119, 160. Back to Psalms 119 and 160. We have recorded for us here the psalmist stating a very simple passage, But yet a passage that obviously has escaped the thoughts of many people. In Psalms 119, 160, it says, "The entirety of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous judgments endure forever." So remember, when I say, give me the truth, I'm not saying the truth you've concocted in your mind or the truth I've concocted in my mind. I'm talking about the truth which comes from the Creator of heaven and earth. Again, as we talk about this truth, let's go to another passage. Remember what Jesus said in John 14, verse 6. I am what? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. So where's the way of truth? It's through Jesus. Okay, as we talk about God's word being the truth, let's go to another passage. Let's go to John chapter 16. And John chapter 16 and verse 13. We find here, 14, 15, and 16, Jesus promises his disciples the Holy Spirit to come and guide them, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. Then he concludes in John 16, 13, "However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come." Now, so he's promised his disciples, you're going to get the truth from the Holy Spirit. He's going to come overcome you, and you're going to have the truth. Whose truth? God's truth. Again, let's go to another passage. John 17, 17. "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." So when we talk about give me the truth, what basically I'm saying, stick with the word of God. That's where the truth is. Truth is not determined by what people vote to be right or wrong, or by what society says. Again, let's go to Colossians chapter 1. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 5, as we from the scriptures define that the truth is from the word of God, we have recorded for us here in Colossians 1 this simple statement. "Because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel." So when I talk about give me the truth, I'm talking about the truth that comes from this book that we are studying. That's the truth. Why? Because it was given to us by God. Remember what it states in 2 Timothy 2:15? Let's go there. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. As Paul talks to this young evangelist, he states this on the importance of study and rightly dividing the truth. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. "Be diligent to present yourselves approved unto God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing" what? "The word of truth." So again, give me the truth. What I'm talking about is the truth that is contained in this book. That is where God's truth is at and is what you and I should follow. So as we enter this new year, we want to make sure we're applying our lives to the truth of God's word. John 8, before we move on. John chapter 8, and there we have recorded in verse 31 and 32. This is how important it is. It tells us there, "Then Jesus said to the Jews who believed in him, if you abide in my word," because where's the truth? In his word. "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Now again, we could go off into another lesson there because it gives us freedom from sin. It gives them the freedom of guilt of sin. It gives them freedom to get back to Christ. But where's this found? It's found in the truth of the gospel of Christ. So that's the first part. What is truth? The truth I'm talking about is the truth that comes from the word of God. That is the truth. Give me the truth. Give me the word of God. Now, let's move on to point number two. I stated, if you look up on the chart, that one's attitude is extremely important when understanding and application of the truth of God's word. Think about that. Your attitude as you come to the truth of God's word. A wrong attitude will never lead one to do that which is right. Is that not true? If I go back to the word of God and I go back with a preconceived ideas, that's a wrong attitude. If I go to the Word of God and simply try to prove my point, am I going to take scriptures out of their context and make them say something they didn't say? So that's like Ezra. I first have to prepare my heart that I have the right attitude towards the truth. The truth will always be the truth because it comes from God. Now, how I deal with it, how it affects me, is dependent upon my attitude towards the truth. Before I go into specifics, let me tell you one illustration. As you're aware, I was not raised in the Lord's church, and I had some false conceptions as to what God accepted. And I had very false conception about marriage, divorce, and remarriage. And when I obeyed the gospel, I had a good brother in Christ confront me on that. And boy, he made me upset. And when he went home, I was determined to prove him wrong. To come to find out he was right. Bible teaches one man, one woman, one life, one exception. And therefore, I had to decide in my mind, will I accept the truth that is found within this book? Or will I finagle the truth to accept certain circumstances and our family heritage that I wanted to justify, which was not according to the truth? Right? So your attitude, my attitude. Because let's face it, we can have a bad attitude towards the truth. Some reject the truth, talking about the truth of God's word. They just kind of flat out reject the truth. Let's go to Romans chapter 2. Understand, God's word is the truth. What I do with that truth is determine the type of attitude that I have towards it. In Romans chapter 2 and verse 8, as he speaks to the Jews, remember, Romans 1, Paul tells the Gentiles their need for the gospel. And if you were a Jew at that time and you're listening to Paul in Romans 1, you're saying, preach on, brother. Those Gentiles need to hear that. But then in chapters 2 and 3, he switches gears and shows the Jews, hey, you also need the gospel. Not only do the Gentiles need the gospel, you need the gospel. And in Romans chapter 2 and verse 8, but to those who are self-seeking, now in the context, he's talking to the Jews, but to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness. Self-seeking. I watched a documentary the other day concerning a mega church, and it showed how it was doing those things contrary to the truth, but they were self-seeking. They liked the power, they liked the authority, and they did whatever it was to get the power and the authority and the pomp and circumstances. I'm not going to tell you which one it was. It's not important. But when you're self-seeking, you'll do that. You'll reject the truth because you want to do things which way? Your way. Doesn't mean you give up religion. These Jews didn't give up religion. They just were self-seeking. So you've got to be careful, and I have to be careful, that I have the right attitude towards the truth. Some just reject it, like that illustration. Let's go to another illustration, Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13, verse 46. Have you ever heard someone state to you or state to someone else as you try to share with them the gospel, and they just utterly reject it? They say, you mean to tell me not being baptized is going to send me to hell? You ever hear people talk like that? And I'll say, no, that's not what I'm trying to tell you. I'll say, I'm trying to tell you, if you don't have the blood of Christ, you'll end up in hell. And we have to study what the truth has to say, how you get the blood of Christ, which includes repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. Now, it's not new to 2023. I was going to say 22, but we're 23 now. Because in Acts chapter 13 and verse 46, Paul had that problem in the first century. Then Paul and Barnabas grew bold and said it was necessary that the word of God should be spoken to you first. Okay, what's in the word of God? The truth. The word of God should be spoken to you first. But since you reject it, you judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life. If a person ends up in condemnation, or we identify it as hell, it's because they've rejected the truth of God's word. They've rejected the precious blood of Christ. We'll talk more about that at the end of the lesson. Again, here's the truth. The churches of Christ are not the truth. A preacher of the Church of Christ is not the truth. God's word is the truth. We make sure that we're following this book right here. Again, let's go to another illustration on those who did not receive the love of the truth. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10 through 12. So we know where the truth is. Now the question is, what are we going to do with the truth? In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning in verse 10. And with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth. Does your Bible say that? They perish because why? They did not receive the love of the truth. Where is the truth? In God's word, that they might be saved. Now look at verses 11 and 12. And for this reason, God will send them a strong delusion that they should believe a lie. What? God's going to do what? Send them a strong delusion? Let them believe. In other words, let them believe a lie. Why would God do that? Doesn't God want everybody to be saved? Absolutely. But what didn't these people want? They didn't want the truth. So God will allow you to believe what you want to believe. Look at that. Now, why would he do that? Next verse, 13, verse 12. And that they may all be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had, listen, had pleasure in what? Unrighteousness. We have the same thing today. Here's the truth. People want to keep on practicing unrighteousness. They don't give up religion. They turn away from the truth. They want to deceive themselves. Everybody's okay. No, everybody's not okay if we're not abiding by the truth. It's as simple as that. Now you say, you Church of Christ people think you're going to save yourself? No, God saves us by his precious blood, but I've got to obey the truth. Well, I don't understand. Well, let me tell you this. Now, this is just an illustration, so you're not going to get this, but bear with me. If I told you, and if you knew I was a multimillionaire, that I'm going to give you $1 million if tomorrow morning you go to the airport, you fly to Chicago, you go to a pizzeria that I tell you about. So you have to fly to Chicago. You have to get an Uber or a cab and get to that pizzeria. And if you do that, there's going to be an envelope there for you with $1 million. Would you do it? Did you earn it? Did you have to do something? Get it? I didn't earn salvation, but I have to do what the truth says to be his child. You see how we can understand that in physical things, but we don't understand that in spiritual things? Isn't that interesting? But again, they wanted nothing to do. Some simply reject the truth. Others simply turn away from the truth. I'm seeing this in the Lord's church. And 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter... Now let's face it. It would be exciting for this building to be so full of people that we had to pull out folding chairs. Wouldn't that be exciting that we'd have to pull out folding chairs? Wouldn't that be exciting if we had so many people coming, we had to have two morning services? Well, wouldn't that be exciting? Could it happen? Well, that's up to God. We've got to do our part. But there are some churches that are so bent on being big that they'll do whatever it takes to being big. And in doing that, oftentimes they sacrifice, guess what? The truth. Because they want to be big. I don't want to offend anybody so that you don't ever come back. Well, it's not my place to offend you, but I don't mean to be disrespectful. If the truth offends you, there's nothing I can do about that, my friend. Because I've got to follow the truth. And I have to find people who want to follow the truth. In the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, we have recorded, for the time will come that they will not endure sound doctrine. I want to stop. What that tells me, that first line tells me, that very first line tells me, that they had in times past endured sound doctrine. But they no longer want to endure sound doctrine. It goes on to state, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap to themselves teachers, and they will what? Turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. They didn't give up religion. Understand this. They still wanted religion, but they wanted religion their way. That's how a lot of people are when they're looking for a church. They're not looking for a church as to what book, chapter, and verse has to say. They're looking for a church that what's going to appease them. Do they like that? Do they like the ambiance? Do they like the atmosphere? Do they like what the church is involved in? Do they like the programs they have for the children? Do they have some recreation, right? Isn't that how people look? But what does the truth say? What does the truth say? So they turn their ears from the truth and find those who will speak what they want to hear. Isn't that sad? And this passage, I believe, is talking about the Lord's people. Because you can't turn away from something you didn't have. So they had the truth. And of course, the best part is that you have those who will follow the truth. But before we get to that, I've got this illustration. I hope you can read it up there. I'm going to have to read it from my notes because I can't read it even on my thing. A statement by Daniel Webster. He was a member, an attorney, a member of U.S. Congress. And this reminds me of 2023. Here's what he said. Oh, and this was in the 1800s. This statement was in the 1800s. He stated this: if we abide by the principles taught in the Bible, our country will go on prospering to prosper. But if we and our posterity neglect the instructions and authority, no man can tell how sudden a catastrophe may overwhelm us and bury all our glory and profound obscurity. Wow! That's a powerful statement. The problem is, we as Americans will say, that'll never happen to us. May I call your attention? You ever remember reading in your history books about the Roman Empire? The Roman Empire was pretty powerful, was it not? Perhaps you would agree with me that the Roman Empire is even more powerful than what we of the United States are. Not today, however. Where is the Roman Empire today? It's basically non-existent. It is my conviction that we as Americans, as was pointed out as we started, that God has so richly blessed us, is because there were enough people following the truth. We didn't get to where we are because we were so great. We got to where we are because we elevated the God of heaven and earth. Times are changing, are they not? Now, I can't change someone else. I can only deal with the truth in my life. I can't make someone else do that. You can only do it in your life. But if we're not doing it in our lives, how are the others going to do it in their lives? Could you be how sad this would be if this nation, which I love, goes to obscurity because we don't follow the truth? And selfishly, I'm thinking of my children and grandchildren, because I won't be around for too many more years. But they may. Obscurity because we ignore the truth. We give God lip service. I wish indeed we were one nation under God. I believe at one time we were. But we're having some problems in 2023. But you and I can make a difference, and that gives me the next point. Others will receive and respond to the truth. Let's go to one passage that we're familiar with, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. So as we look to the new year and you make some observations, make truth, God's truth, a priority in your life. And 1 Thessalonians 2:13, for this reason we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. Don't stop there. which effectually works in you who believe. The Word of God, which effectually works in you who believe. This is the truth. People say, well, what's right? Well, you have to go back here. What does the truth say? The truth will teach what's right. What's right about marriage? A man and a woman. Go back to the truth. That's what the truth teaches. But today, I'm not concerned about today. Today doesn't change the truth. Truth is truth. You know, we understand that in physical things. We have laws, driving laws. And I'll never forget when I first went to Spring Warrior, great congregation, Spring Warrior in Perry, Florida. And I was riding with one of the elders, and it's interesting because a lot of the members lived on old country roads. And he would take me to these back roads to show me these different things. And this is my first week there, and he's taking me around, and I noticed he went through a stop sign. So I didn't say nothing. I'm with an elder. I was a young preacher in my 20s. I'm going to keep my mouth shut. Not good to say that. So maybe he just wasn't paying attention and went through the stop sign. Well, a couple minutes later, he went through another stop sign. Now I'm getting a little uncomfortable because now we've gone through two stop signs. I'm thinking, surely he saw one of those two. I'm not making this up. This is true. He went through a third stop sign. I had to say something. What am I missing? He told me. He said, that stop sign means you only have to stop if someone else is there. No, that's not what that means. A stop sign means stop, period. If nobody's there, even if a cow's wanting to cross the street, you stop. We understand that, right? We understand the laws regulating our driving. When God gives a law in his word, when he gives us a truth, we don't get the chance to modify it to what we want. And him and I still laugh at that to this day because he saw where I was coming from. The point is, we need to be like the Thessalonians, receive and respond to the truth. Because God's word is truth. And of course, we know James chapter 1. Let's go there very quickly. James chapter 1 and verses 21 and 22. Again, God's word is truth. Whether you want to accept it or not, it's the truth. You know, you can say, I didn't like that lesson. And that's totally up to you. But if what I'm teaching is correct, if this is the truth, what you do with it's very important. First, I have the right attitude. James chapter 1, verse 21. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. If I study the truth, God's word, and I see very clearly in God's word that I'm doing something contrary to that truth, what should I do? I should change. Not because some preacher told you to change, but that you've read a book, chapter, and verse in God's word. I don't want you to do anything to say, well, Chuck told me to do this. No, that's not how I want you to do it. You do it because I found it in God's word, and I want to obey the truth. Now, let's take the lesson home. So we've learned that the truth is in God's word. We learn that there's different reactions to the truth. Now let's put it into application. Give me the truth as we enter into 2023. I challenge myself and I challenge you. Will we stand for the truth? Absolutely. Well, okay, let me just throw out a few things for you. Will we stand for the truth above friendship? Above friendship. Let's go to Galatians chapter 2. You might have a friend, maybe a close loved one. Who knows? But perhaps they are not abiding by the truth. Or they are teaching something contrary to the truth. Will the truth be more important to you than their friendship? That's easy for me to say. takes all the effort in my being to do. But I'll give you an example. And that's the example of Paul with Peter. Now, Paul and Peter were both apostles. In fact, Paul was an apostle born out of due season, and Peter was an apostle from the beginning. And I believe they had respect for each other. But yet, in this occasion, in Galatians chapter 2, verse 11, "Now when Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed." When I first read that years ago, that boggled my mind. Here's one who was an apostle born out of due season, who is withstanding an apostle who was an apostle from the beginning, and he withstood him to the face. What caused him to do that? Let's go on. "For before a certain man came from Judea, came from James, he would eat with the Gentiles. But when they came and he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision. And the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with him, so that even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy. But when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel," you see, he's making a distinction between Jew and Gentile. He knew better than that. But his fear took over. He corrected him. Wow. Would we do that? Are we willing to correct one another when we see someone going contrary to the truth? Or do we just say, "I don't want to rock the boat. I don't want to rock the boat"? Easy to say, but we have a book, chapter, and verse here. And you see, not only did he himself go contrary to the truth, his example led others to go contrary to the truth. You see that point there? So I ask the question, am I, Chuck, going to be willing to stand for the truth even above friendships? I won't go into great detail, but when we first obeyed the truth, there were family members who wouldn't talk to us, wanted nothing to do with us. I'm not looking for your sympathy. Now, over the years, times that they started to lessen up, but it hurt at first, no doubt about that. But I had to be reminded, do I want to follow the truth or do I want to compromise the truth? What's more important, associations or the truth? Well, I know what God wants me to do, but let's move on. Will I stand for the truth if it creates difficulties? Go to Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. Paul loved the Galatians, but he had to correct them. And he states in Galatians chapter 5, 16, "Have I therefore become your enemy," or Galatians 4, 16, "Have I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" I'm excited to work with the brethren here. I'm excited to work under the elders who are here. I've got to stick with the truth, and that's what the elders want. Whenever I get up to preach, I'm not out gunning after someone. But the truth's going to hurt sometimes. And so understand, I didn't get that whole lesson for you. Don't compliment yourself. I got it based upon my understanding of the truth. And will people get hurt feelings? For instance, when I give a lesson on marriage, divorce, and remarriage, that's not a very popular lesson. I've also got a lesson on hell. Hey, you don't like to hear too many lessons on hell, but the Bible talks about hell. I didn't like that. Well, honestly, I don't mean to be disrespectful. I really don't care what you like. What does the truth teach? See, God's going to hold me accountable for the truth, just like the elders are going to hold me accountable that I teach the truth. And that's just like each one of you are going to study God's word to make sure it's according to the truth. But I say that to say this. Sometimes truth creates difficulties because it hits home. It hits an area that we want to ignore. And usually what happens then, "I don't like his preaching." Well, you probably may not like my style. I'm sorry that I am who I am. But if I'm teaching the truth, what are you going to do with the truth? Whether you like my style or not. But let's move on. Never be ashamed of the truth. Never. Remember Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of what? The gospel of Christ." Why? For it is the power of God to salvation, to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, for therein is the righteousness of God. God's word, the gospel, is God's power. I am not going to be ashamed of it, and I'm not going to apologize for it. I hear some people trying to apologize, you have to be baptized. I'm not going to apologize, you have to be baptized. That's what God's word teaches. He didn't ask me what I would do for the plan of salvation. That's the plan he set forth. Bottom line, I'm not going to apologize that God's word teaches how we're to live. Whether I live like that, that's up to me, but I'm not going to apologize. And then in the book of Timothy, here's what he tells Timothy. In 2 Timothy, we have recorded chapter 1 and verse 8. 2 Timothy chapter 1. In verse 8. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Remember, Romans 1:16. Nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God. Now, I got to thinking, it's not an exact parallel, but it makes some sense. Sometimes, as kids get up to teenage years, they get somewhat ashamed of their parents. I'll give you a hug before I get to the school, Dad. I'll give you a kiss. Now, as they get older, that changes. But the point, I think that's how it is with this. I think sometimes people become ashamed because they're worried about the conflict that might come. I'm not going to be ashamed to identify with those who stand for the truth. That's what Paul is saying. I'm not going to be ashamed of the truth. What truth? The truth that comes from here. As we continue on, we need to obey the truth. 1 Peter chapter 1. Truth is just not knowledge in one's head, it's to be obeyed. And 1 Peter chapter 1, begin in verse 22. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth. Okay, what did they obey? Well, if the truth is the gospel, they obeyed the gospel, right? That's what it's teaching here. He goes on. Through the spirit and the sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Okay. So you're born again by obeying the gospel, by obeying the truth, by being baptized and putting on Christ. But it doesn't stop there. Because we have 3 John. Let's go to 3 John chapter 3. 3 John chapter 3. 3 John only has one chapter. If you have chapter 3, you've got to get rid of that Bible. 3 John verse 3. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you. Listen how it says, just as you walk in the truth. Now, how does one walk in the truth? Well, if the truth is God's word, to walk in the truth means I'm walking according to what God's word has to say. Is that not so? And then the next verse. For I have no greater joy than to hear my children walk in truth. So as we've entered the first day of 2023, where does truth stand on your list of priorities? I normally don't do this, but I'm going to close with a poem. I don't know who wrote the poem. I surely didn't, but I think it really teaches the lesson that we've studied this morning. It's titled, Give Me the Truth. It states, if you are my friend, if you are concerned about my soul, give me the truth. Do not flatter me, do not praise my virtues while remaining silent about my vices. Do not fear the truth will offend me. Do not treasure our friendship or our friendly relations above my salvation. Do not think that by ignoring my sins, you can help me. Do not think that being blind to my sins will prove you charitable. However I may react to it, whatever might be my attitude toward you after you've done it, give me the truth. For the truth and only the truth can make me free from the shackles of sin. Strengthen me in the pathway of righteousness and lead me to the joys of heaven. If I am wavering, weak, lukewarm, indifferent, neglectful, if I have been overtaken in a trespass, if I have been drawn away into the pleasures of the world, if I have left my first love, if I've been led astray by error, or if I've done none of these things, but simply need to grow in the knowledge and be edified, give me the truth. Wouldn't that be a good way to live? Give me the truth. Understanding that truth is in here. What are you doing with the truth this morning? Have you been baptized for the remission of your sins? That's what they were told to do on the day of Pentecost. No, it's not baptism's going to send you to hell if you don't do it. It's going to be you don't have the blood of Christ. The blood of Christ is what gives me heaven. And I come to contact with the blood of Christ when I put on Christ. And I put on Christ at baptism. Now, if you don't understand that, we'll be happy to sit down and study God's word with you. I don't want anybody doing something because, well, that's what Chuck said. No, you do it. Here's the point. You missed it. You do it because the truth says it. God's word. And then after you put on Christ, keep on growing in the grace and knowledge of God. And when the opportunity arises, teach them the truth. Remember, you're not truth. I'm not truth. The truth is right here. What a wonderful way, if we focus along that, as we move into 2023, as we stand and as we sing.
Have thine affections been nailed to the cross?